This is Nursing in America. Each week, we speak with incredible nurses from all over the world who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream.
Try very hard to not consistently apply for new credit. In the position that right. you guys are in, you will be heavily, heavily solicited via mail, email, all sorts of things for these credit cards. They are not all made the same. Pay attention. Look for ones with 0% introductory APR for the first 12 months. No annual fees. Fees on balance transfers. Fees on all sorts of things. You have to look at them. They are not all made equal. Also, there's the banking system, it's a little bit confusing. There's installment debt versus revolving debt that you have. So apply for any credit over a very short period of time, because applying for credit consistently over a longer period of time will hurt your credit score, because your credit report will be hit with these hard inquiries over and over again every time you apply for new credit. So make sure if you're applying that you're doing it within a small time frame. Because things that are done within 30 days, if you're rate shopping or looking for approval, will be conducted as, you know, smaller hits. Now, every time you're applying for one of those credit cards that you're solicited for, that is a hard hit. So that's a topic, hard hits and soft hits, a little bit different, but that will negatively impact your credit score with every single hit that you make.
You don't have to have any credit cards to have a good credit score, but it can help to have one or two. So, you know, one is enough, maybe two, as long as you're making a small purchase and then paying it in full, just like Darius described, you're showing activity in that account. And a credit score in most of them will not include an account in a score calculation until it has at least 3 months and often up to 6 months of activity first. So when you get an account, don't expect your score to start to go up right away. It's going to take a bit of time for that account to have not only a presence in the credit report, but also some activity to show that you manage it well. So it takes a bit of time. When we talk about inquiries, you always tell people inquiries in the industry, reporting industry, we call it the fifth factor because it's always the least important in terms of scores. But when you apply for new credit, we have to show a record that someone's looked at your report for that because you've applied. That's called an inquiry. It can affect scores a little bit because it indicates there's potentially a new debt that doesn't show up yet as an account in your report. Typically, after 2 to 3 months, that inquiry, while it's still there, won't have any significant impact on the score because there'll be a new account, and that becomes the risk indicator. Or there isn't a new account because you said, no, I don't want that account. And so it doesn't affect scores because there's no new debt. And by the way, the most powerful word and important word in credit is no, because as Blair said, you'll get lots of offers. If you can say no, you can use those to your advantage because you can find the ones that give you the best incentives, the lowest interest rates, the, you know, discounts on airline miles, whatever it might be to use to your advantage. But we have to learn to say no. That's the most important thing. Good debt are things that have a return on that investment or that you're using as a financial tool. So, you know, we often think of mortgages as good debt because a house will gain value. But you can also use something like a credit card. And if you're using the credit card as a financial tool and you're paying the balance in full, you're not taking on debt, but you might get discounts on purchases so it would save you money, or you might get airline miles so you can reduce the cost of travel, or you know, those sorts of things. So, you know, good debt is debt that there's a return on. If you're using it well and creating a financial advantage for yourself, that's good debt. Bad debt is any debt that results in you having stuff, but you're not sure why or what you bought. And that's what credit cards can do. So, you know, you realize you suddenly have this huge credit card bill and you just have stuff. And, you know, so it's the stuff debt that's the problem. And that's what gets you in trouble. And I think with credit cards, it's easy to make impulse buys. That's usually bad debt because you're not thinking about how you're going to repay it, why you need to make that purchase, why do you need to have that debt. And so, you know, good debt is debt you've given some thought to, you know, how you're going to repay it. And you understand the incentive or the value for taking on that debt when you do. And so, you know, that's sort of the way I approach it.
My rule of thumb on this topic is always the purpose of the purchase. So your good debt has the potential to increase your net worth or enhance your life in an important way. So a mortgage, a vehicle, anything that can increase your net worth. Bad debt is when you, again, borrow money to purchase rapidly, like depreciating assets heavily, or just for the purpose of pure consumption. Everything in moderation. But when you use your debt to purchase things, like he said, that can be considered bad debt if abused. But if you're purchasing things for the betterment of your life to increase your net worth or your potential net worth, then that is considered good debt. So it's just the purpose of the purchase.
As long as you're being responsible. So I guess, like, well, we can't really help sometimes, you know, when you're here in the States and it's your first time to buy these things and you know, stuff. Sometimes there's that, you know, that itch that I want to buy this. Anyway, I have a credit. I could pay this next time. And you know, I think it's about the credit card company without really reading the terms of usage. And, you know, you end up like having lots of interests. And I guess from that standpoint, I experienced like, you know, paying a bunch of interest. And if I'm not mistaken, I have a card, like if I don't make a certain purchase or amount for a certain time, they will charge me with like an interest of like $18 or $20. So I actually had to cancel that card because of that, because it's a necessary payment. And in effect, it also affects my credit score. But so far, I have been responsible with my purchases. I have purchased like thousands and thousands of, I mean, some stuff for thousands of dollars. But I just had to make sure that I have that money available in my bank or in my savings, so that when the time that I have to pay them, you know, it's readily available. And I think the key here is really control, like Blair said. And also another key is to delay gratification. I know some of us, like Filipinos especially, you know, when you go here in the States, you would see a lot of things, great things, and you just want to get everything. You know, I want this, I want that, I want that. I want three cars, you know. But you have to be, I think before going here to the States, I was able to develop that attitude of, you know, being financially mature. Like if there's something that you want, number one, you have to consider, like Blair said, do you need it? Number two, would you keep it like for long years or for long term? And number three, would you not end up selling it? Because a lot of people will buy stuff and then after a couple of months or years, they will end up selling it. So for me, it's just a waste of time and money. And I as I said, that's also part of financial maturity. And you know, delayed gratification, save, because you know, even though nurses are being paid good right now, not because of the pandemic, but, you know, nurses are really being paid good to begin with. But you have to save, you have to delay whatever you want. So you have to plan ahead of time, whatever you want to purchase. Like if you want to buy a house, a car or whatever, I think it should be planned well. It should be thought about not twice or thrice, but many times in your head. And, you know, trying to picture out if do you really need it, as what Blair said, because a lot of people just really want to buy things because they want it, but not because they need it. If I really want something, you know, this is just an advice for nurses. If I really want something, like, for example, I see this and I really want it, or I think I need it, I would not buy it the first time I saw it. I would, you know, like go home, think about it. Maybe I'm just hungry or sleepy, you know, or I'm just stressed. Because I have that tendency when I'm so stressed, I buy things as my form of relaxation. You know, because the mall relaxes me and sometimes you end up like buying things that you don't really need. So I go there, you know, look at it, five times, six times, then go home, then go back and really like make a decision. And then check on my apartment. You know, I have this actually at home, so I don't need this. So I'm on that point. Like,
well, we call that retail therapy.
Yeah.
And it can be very, very gratifying, but it can also be very detrimental. But you are absolutely correct. The U.S. is a very consumer-driven country. Right. No matter if you're on social media, if you're watching TV, if you're driving down the street, you're going to see advertisements and billboards. And then it's the keeping up with the Joneses, wanting to buy this and that. And it's all about, like I said, the purpose of the purchase. Are you buying it to better your financial health? Or are you buying it to satisfy a temporary need? Is it a permanent solution to a very temporary desire?
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. AMN Healthcare Network is currently recruiting registered nurses around the world to live and work in the United States. To learn more and apply, go to amnhealthcare.com/international. That's amnhealthcare.com/international. On with the show.
From a credit reporting standpoint and establishing credit, if it's a credit card, you might ask them to add you as an authorized user instead of a joint account holder. As an authorized user, you benefit from the account if it's being paid on time, but you're not responsible for the debt. So it would establish a credit report for you and show the positive payments. But if the account becomes negative, Experian will actually remove it from the authorized user's account. So it's a good way to kind of safely start a credit history. If you're a joint account holder, you're responsible equally for that debt. So if they don't pay the bill, you have to. So it's important to understand what your responsibilities are. Either way, you know, having being added as an authorized user or becoming a joint account holder or having someone co-sign for a small loan, maybe, you know, a piece of furniture, something like that, might be a good way to start a history as well.
A secured credit card is different from your just regular credit card, but it's the type of card that has the security, obviously, and it's backed by a cash deposit from the cardholder. These limits are often a lot smaller. Some of them are $250, $500, but the cash that backs the card serves as like collateral on the account. So it gives you that security in case you can't make those payments. So say you charge a purchase of $500 on a secured credit card that has $500 and you can't make those payments. You have the collateral from the account to back up those payments. That way it doesn't negatively affect you. It's a great option. It most often, like I said, comes with lower limits, but it's a good option if you don't have a very good credit score that you're able to still try to work to build your credit and obtain credit. But it's kind of like he said in the beginning, you need to make sure you have the cash to back that up. So that's just that security blanket that you are able to pay for the things that you are charging in addition to the card. It's not like your normal credit card where you pay minimum balances monthly. So it just gives you a little bit of a security blanket and gives the financial institution a security blanket that you can actually pay that back.
One, you can get your credit report from each of the national credit reporting companies. So there are three: Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. You can get a free copy by federal law once every 12 months through a website called annualcreditreport.com. So all one string. You can also enroll in free services. Experian has a free monitoring service that will give you a free report once a month and a free FICO score once a month, along with the factors. So great way to monitor now with a free service and be able to take advantage of other tools that you might need, like loan calculators and payoff calculators and things like that. So I always encourage people look at those kinds of services, and you can find ours at Experian.com, really easy to do.
Be very strategic with your purchases and start as soon as you can, specifically for people in your situation. Find a bank or financial institution, credit union, that has a program specifically designed for people in your situation. So there are programs where you can obtain credit cards and auto loans and mortgages with no credit. and they will not only help you build your credit, but those types of programs will offer you higher limits as opposed to if you go directly to a, you know, brand name credit card or something like that, or go with the offers that are being sent to you. So find a financial institution or bank that has a program specifically designed for someone in your situation. Also, be very, very careful whenever you're purchasing things to not fall into the trap of no credit needed, no credit, no problem, things like that. No credit, yes, we're going to have a problem, because those are the situations that are going to get you in a very sticky situation that is going to take a lot of time and probably more money in the end to get you out of. So don't fall into the trap that consumers do for the low credit, no credit, no problem. Find a program specifically tailored to people in your situation. Ask fellow nurses, talk to friends, do things like this and find out what they've done that works best for them and learn from their mistakes.
Three things. Number one, you need to plan ahead of your purchases. Think about it. Plan for it. Think if you really need it or if you just want it, and think of long term. Number two, as much as possible, I know like here in America, you could just like everything you see, it's like, you know, it's very, very tempting to buy, especially shiny things that you've always wanted, like when you were from your country or where have you been, you know. Try to save and live within or below your means. Remember, you're here to earn, to save, because you're not just here for yourself. I'm not here for myself. I'm here because there are people who depend on me. So I would have to think about, you know, like having money or save money in cases of emergency. So make sure that you have that. And number three, in connection to what I said in number two, you know, live within your means. I know like you would see like a lot of nurses, oh, they've been traveling abroad, et cetera. They have this bag, this new, et cetera, like this car. So, you know, don't compare yourself to others. Your struggles are different than theirs. Their situations are different than yours. And, you know, your financial struggles, your financial maturity is also different from them. So find that reason why you're here. Mm-hmm. But of course, don't forget to enjoy. You know, like, you know, some people would just like work and work and work and save without enjoying. You know, you have to live your life as well, but you have to live your life right and maturity. That's all.
I'll be more specific for my industry. Be engaged. I think that with credit reporting, get your credit report. It's free. Getting your own report doesn't affect your credit score. So get your credit report, whether it's annualcreditreport.com or you enroll in a monitoring service. Because knowing what's there is empowering, and that's, you can then act on it. And you use the new kinds of resources that are available, like Experian Boost. You couldn't before have your cell phone help your credit history. Now it can. Take advantage of those new resources, the new tools, and know what's in that report and own it, because it should be a financial tool. That credit report should let you walk into a lender. You're going to know exactly what they see, and you can tell them, I qualify because I know I do, and I know exactly what's in my report. So let's talk, because then you have negotiating power. So it's empowering to know what's in that report. So get it, know what's in it, own it, and use it to your advantage.
If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and hit the follow button on your podcast player and leave us a review. AMN Healthcare International is currently recruiting registered nurses around the world to live and work in the United States. We offer both direct hire and staff recruitment, giving you more options and flexibility to begin your American dream. To learn more and apply, go to amnhealthcare.com/international. There's also a link in the description. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more incredible conversations.